Welcome, campers, to Camp Blood.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Jack.
That kind of works. Welcome to our annual spooky special, Camp Blood, a Friday the 13th retrospective. This week, we're reviewing Friday the 13th Part 7, The New Blood, and Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. I almost said Muppets Take Manhattan, but that's a different movie. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis, and we'll give our first thoughts, too. But first, John, we're nearing the end. Maybe.
Technically, we have finished the Friday the 13th series.
Yes, we will. After today, we will be done with the Paramount years, and we'll enter New Line Cinema. New Line Cinema era.
The house that Freddy built.
The enemy, if you will. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear us, we had an interesting thought experiment we should try, because after we finish this series,
I'll say it. So Rolando's gonna watch every series we've seen back to back, and he's gonna tell us on Halloween which is the best. I commend him, because I don't have the patience.
I'll do it as like a little pod bonus on October 31st.
It's going to be 30 seconds long. It's this series.
I didn't finish. Spoilers, I didn't finish. No, but...
Sorry, I saw Wonderfalls again.
So, yeah, exactly. But if you want to hear that, maybe. Follow us on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. All right, John. Friday the 13th in New Blood. I did something different. I have notes.
Oh.
A lot of notes. Shit. A lot of note taking. Only because we were recording it at a different time, and it wasn't like they were fresh in my head over the weekend, but we decided to record it on a different day. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take notes.
Wow. I feel like you're gonna be so much harsher in these movies. No.
We'll see. I will say I liked one more than the other. Spoiler.
Oh no, I'm not gonna like this answer. Yeah.
Probably not.
I think one to me makes way less sense, and one is just like owning up to the campiness.
That's fair. No spoilers. No spoilers yet.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's kick it off. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes. I was going to say, even though both, somehow Jason learns how to teleport.
True.
For Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood. Coming in at number 3, Friday the 13th theme park sucks.
Interesting.
There is some interesting... I'll explain later, but like it has to do a lot to do with the whole basis of this movie revolves around some lady and her telekinesis.
Gesundheit. The only thing I'll add to that is... Oh, never mind. Just keep going. Yeah.
All right. Coming in at number 2 for Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, era of cordless television sets. Do you know what I'm talking about? I was like, what? I replayed that like 6 times, like, okay. And coming in at number 1 for Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, Jason's worst nightmare, Overthinking Babe.
Overthinking Babe? Very good. Little bit of background I wrote down. So at this point, it says here, they actually, in 1987 or whatever, before they made this movie, they actually wanted to do a team up already, Freddy versus Jason, by this movie. It was already talked about. There was already like a script, but I think at some point they were just like,
so this
scrapped it. Yeah, because they couldn't make a deal.
She was supposed to be a dream warrior? Is that what you're saying?
You're right, yeah. Instead, they came up with Carrie versus Jason, right? That's kind of what you're alluding to. It's because, you know, she has this woman with telekinesis powers fighting Jason.
She's got the ability to make like a theme park attraction rides become death traps. It's
Right.
I don't want to talk too much shit about the animatronic or not. Yeah, I mean, like, the mechanics of the, like, they're on a dock and it keeps shifting back and forth, but it's obvious, like, at certain points, it looks like a Disney theme park ride.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then they fall down.
Here's where, like, this is where we're going to start diverging, because I actually liked some of the special effects. Like, I didn't mind that. I know what you mean. The doc in the beginning, the first part of this movie, that was not very good.
Like, four different times in the movie.
it was not very good.
Like,
yeah.
I kept replaying it like, this looks like a Disney ride.
But I would argue that I liked the sort of like, what do we get? Some of the house and stairs collapse. I thought the special effects there were kind of cool. And then like the explosion near the end of the movie or whatever, that was really cool. That's like special effects. But in no way will I say this is like a good movie or even a like average movie. It's not great.
I actually had high hopes for this one, 'cause I was like, oh man, how could this go wrong? They just got to play into the campiness. And then
honestly,
I don't know. Like every single character is forgettable.
100%. What I would say is, to me, this has a possibly, and this is the spicy take part, I don't know, maybe you can push back against, is I would say this has probably the best of the seven movies, or eight movies technically, we've seen, has the best third act, when we have the telekinesis Carrie-like character versus Jason. I think that whole third act sequence is probably one of the best directed scenes in any of these movies, third act.
So I will agree, it was pretty fun to watch. I don't know about best directed.
Well, it's okay, fair. Because
it was a lot of really weird, corny things, like I shattered this hanging lamp fixture, and right, I'm going to use the cord to strangle you. I'm like,
I would say, I mean, I don't want to get too far into it, because like we're going to talk like about a lot about the movie, but like I liked the getting him on fire, throwing him through the stairs. I liked the mask reveal. I thought all those things worked really well in these movies, but I think we're getting too far into the end.
I don't know if she's going to compare to the whole city of New York fighting against.
sure.
Not even people, just the actual city itself.
So one thing, kind of going back to like, before we get too much into the end, is going back to like the beginning, the director has said that this quote, and I quote, I wrote it down, the MPA raped my movie. And that is in reference to the kills being really censored, which is true, because at some point this is like, you know, Reagan era. This is when like they were just cracking down on all of the violence, and there was just, like, too many slasher movies, and you know, what is that movie, Silent Night, Deadly Night? They were like, there was a big up in arms about like a killer Santa and how that's like could somehow affect children. There was just very, very anti.
Wait, did they get a load of that French film we
reviewed? Yeah.
What was it?
I don't remember. Santa 1, 2, 3 or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was the fucking Home Alone versus Santa.
Right. Yeah, and I really liked. I think another thing I really liked about it was
you liked the movie director guy that.
Did not. He was a writer, by the way, sci-fi writer, but George Lucas wannabe. So anyways, the other thing I liked is when one thing I did notice when the credits were like showing all the credits at the beginning of the movie was that we finally have Kane Hodder here. And to me, Kane Hodder in the movie. And to me, he makes a wild difference. I think he adds so much personality to this character.
Which he wasn't in the last movie, but he was in the movie before, I think.
Hmm. So he's finally like kind of he's done this movie, and then he kind of has been the guy up until like Freddy versus Jason. Right. Because I think that's when they changed him out. But I liked him a lot because I feel like he's big. He's menacing. You can kind of see somebody behind the mask kind of like thinking, and there's like more of a personality than there's ever been in any of these movies. I think it's been very kind of plain, just it's been up and down, right? The performance has been up and down through the whole series.
Right, yeah.
But
he's also the guy that like really put his foot down when it came to like, no, he doesn't hurt kids, and no, he doesn't hurt dogs or animals.
Right, really respectable on that side. But
which hasn't been historically accurate according to the previous movies, but
Also, the other thing I know, I really like the look of this Jason, because technically he's been, over a period of time, he's been, whatever, trapped under Crystal Lake or whatever, tied down to the boulder from that he left him in the other movie. But I liked the scene where, like, he emerges and then you kind of see his, like, skeleton in the back, and he's looked all kind of, like, fucked up. And then they get that reveal at the end. Yeah. It's like, I think it looks really cool.
I had some issues. Like, it looked like he had an exoskeleton, not like a skeleton.
Right.
Like, he had muscle underneath his skin, which I get it. It's from there. But did you also know that Kane Hodder played Leatherface in the one with Viggo Mortensen?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I just want to point that out.
But
he was also in Best of the Best.
The other, okay, so that's kind of like where I feel like the things I liked about the movie, besides the third act, kind of falter, because I mean, the characters are super boring, and the kills are...
Correct myself. This is the first Kane Hodder.
That's what I thought, but I thought you knew something I didn't know. I think the characters are super boring in this movie. You have a like a bitchy blonde. You have like the love interest guy who keeps a picture of his cousin. It's kind of
unfortunate.
He keeps a picture of his cousin in his wallet, which I think is super weird.
It's like they set them up to be like, oh, they can have wildly great different personalities, and then they're all just fucking boring people.
There are no characters
there to
super,
be killed.
Yes,
right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, there's the writer, which is the guy we talked about, the nerdy girl. I mean, these are just like, very thinly sketched people. These are not people. These are just very...
And then, no offense to like every blonde woman in this movie, but I could not differentiate who was who.
You're right. There's actually too many blonde women sometimes in these series as a whole, where I don't recognize most of them.
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea who I'm looking at. Yeah.
And unfortunately, I feel like the plot is very similar to all the final chapter, basically, where you have that family that's renting the place or something, and then there's like the teenagers in the other cabin, right? Or like nearby. And it's almost the exact same premise, right? Because you have our lead here. Was it Tina? Was it Tina her name? I think it is Tina. Tina.
And also, in case anybody's wondering if they've listened to our previous episodes, no, Tommy Jarvis, right? Was that his name?
Yes.
Is like gone. Like, this is, he's no longer involved with the series.
Right. Yeah. And you have Tina, who has a telekinesis power. They're with a doctor who adopted her, legal guardian, right? He's like the legal guardian, technically. Yeah. And he's kind of nefarious. He's kind of like the bad guy, right? Quote unquote, because he's trying to exploit her and use her to kind of run these tests on her, to kind of push her to get angry so she can release some of her telekinesis powers. I think he's writing a book. It wasn't very clear about what his intention was.
I didn't understand. I mean, I knew he wanted to abuse her abilities, I think, but...
Because I think he's like writing something. Isn't the mom at some point at the end of the movie was like, oh no, he's gonna publish a book, or like videotape.
One of the rare times also where like somebody's like in trouble and it's like, no, I can't believe that's gonna happen. But I was like, I don't know, kill them all, I don't care.
Right.
Kind of where I was at midway through the movie. I was like, who cares?
Right. And I just really love that one of the main antagonists who plays the asshole is Wicked and Bernie's guy. That was so funny. I don't think I've ever seen him act in anything else. Like, off the top of my head, I could not think of anything. Terry Kisser, I think is his name.
Yeah, which I I'm not against watching him in more stuff. He wasn't bad at all.
No, yeah, I liked him in the part, but it was just like odd to see him in something other than Wicked and Bernie's.
He was arguably the only good actor in the movie, aside from Kane.
Besides the mother's hair, which is super 80s.
Besides the mother's hair.
We are.
Which is very
80s.
It reminded me, just because I'm obsessed with these films, Evil Dead 2, the daughter of the guy.
Right.
She's trying to find her father at the cabin, not knowing that he's dead already and her mother's dead. Same haircut.
We are deep into the 80s. We're all in it right now with that hair. That was a choice.
It is. The teenage lion mane.
It's right. I was almost justifying it. Well, if she always had that hair, I think I'd slap her too. But yeah, we get this scene where I think in the beginning of the movie, that was so silly, where she's a little kid. She's like remembering, right? And she's...
Which I got to say real quick, because I didn't know this until recently. The actress that plays Tina, our main protagonist, right? Passed away in April 22nd of this year.
Oh, okay.
At the young age of 63. So R.I.P.
Right, yeah.
I think she was a Texas girl, too. Mm. Yep, born in Dallas, Texas. All right, end of podcast. Yeah, thank you.
Can't go anywhere else for that.
Thank you for tuning in. Let's talk about more murder and death.
Yeah, I think, like, it's kind of so funny that, like, she hears her parents fighting, and I guess his dad hits her, hits the mom. And then she, like, runs away, goes into the boat in the middle of the lake, and the dad's, like, chasing after her. He's like, Tina! Tina! I think that's why I remember the name, because she's, like, repeatedly yelling it from the dock.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's really weird. Like, it is so unfortunate, right, that year after fucking year, something's going to happen where Jason is released again.
Right.
Year after fucking year, this series.
Well, like, I kind of feel like there's an undisclosed amount of time passing by, right? Sign up
or something? Yeah. Huh? Well, maybe. I don't know. It felt like it was like the next year.
Because at some point, they changed this whole town's name to Forest Green. And that was just like the last movie. So I don't know. Even though these are releasing year after year, right? Pretty much, more or less.
Well, technically, and I know we're not talking about it yet, but in 8, you see a decrepit sign that says Crystal Lake without the I.
They must have changed it.
In the background when at the beginning, right, but we'll talk about that then later. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, and then to, like, the bridge collapses and she falls. And this is the part that I thought was kind of funny is, well, I don't know if this is spoiler or not, but, like, I guess they leave him in the lake because she's trying. The reason why Jason woke up from his whatever watery grave is because Tina was trying to resurrect her dad, but that didn't really make sense because, like, didn't they bury their dad? Goody died, or they just left him in the lake? Like,
they just left him in the lake. And then luckily, the one thing, yeah, we don't know is the healing mana properties of Crystal Lake.
Oh, clearly, yeah.
Like, this guy died at that age and then came back out at the very end of the movie at the same age. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's... Yeah. That scene didn't make any sense either. I just thought it was super weird.
I want this to play out like it was all a dream for her. Like, none of this actually happened.
I mean, how many dead bodies do you think there are in the lake? Now it's just like, this is just
too many. Like, I don't understand how Jason's the biggest threat at this point. Like, there's so many dead people in this lake.
Really, yeah, there's so many dead people. And then he kind of wakes up, and, like, and all intents and purposes, like, since they did censor a lot of the kills, and the director feels like that kind of hampered his movie. Honestly, if I'm giving my honest opinion, I don't think like those kills would have made the movie any better, because I don't think there's a likable character in this movie. Like, aside from Tina, I think Tina is kind of like the only one that kind of, like, they build any kind of momentum for by the end as the final girl.
I'm just going to say, like, and to be perfectly clear, not like we didn't like these characters because, like, oh, they're assholes. Just, like, they were boring. None of them are interesting.
It's a huge problem for this series in general, like, trying to make people interesting, because it's just, like...
What's a huge problem for me in this movie is Jason's new chain necklace that Tommy had put on his neck that was super loose is now...
Right, yeah.
Like, he's wearing, like, a bling necklace version of his...
It kind of is, yeah.
Fucking chain link, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just, yeah. I mean, the movie, the middle part of the movie just kind of chugs along. It's pretty atypical. We kind of lose a little bit of what Jason lives. We're losing the kind of, like, funny self-referential stuff. And
yeah, I think that's what really bummed me out with this movie. I thought it was going to be way more of it.
It's a little self-serious. It's a little too drama. Yeah,
I was totally expecting full-on camp, and that was not the case.
On top of the fact that it's a paper-thin characters and a boring story. So it's kind of like, and you don't have any blood or murder. You don't have any gore either, yeah. So it's...
You see, this is where I go back to the 5th Halloween movie where, you know, I know you hated it, but we had those two goofy cops.
Right, yeah.
That really made the movie special every time they were there.
That's true. Like, yeah.
That was funny. This movie was just kind of a little bit boring.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with the middle part. It's about as, like, safe of a movie you could possibly make of these series.
And you get one scene, which I made fun of in the 5-word plot summary. she gets upset with her guardian doctor guy and flings a TV at him. And I couldn't help but repeat that one scene over and over again for at least five times, because that television was cordless, just a box clearly made out of mostly cardboard.
Right.
And it is flung at him. Like, I was like, oh no.
Well, I thought the other scene later at the end with the, when one of the characters gets killed, I thought was kind of funny too. She gets, one of the characters gets fling at a TV and it explodes and she gets thrown behind it. the blonde, the other blonde.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other thoughts before?
Oh, the one that's like, I'm going to, no, we can go into spoilers.
Okay, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
Because I know exactly what part you're talking about, too. I enjoyed that just because that one chick who was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm leaving. I'm bored of this. I'm like, everybody's been murdered. We've talked about this. You've seen the bodies. And she's like, I'm out. And then she, like, you can see Jason in the fucking window behind the curtain. And
she walks by. Like,
what?
Yeah. They get thrown across the room and
behind the TV. So, arguably, that was really hilarious. Yeah.
This is also the one, we should also know, this is the one where you had mentioned a person gets killed in a sleeping bag, right? Is this the one?
Yeah, it is.
Was it the last one? I feel like we haven't mentioned it.
No, it's this one. It's this one. It's this one.
You were right.
My favorite death in any movie. Yeah, yeah. The movie's not good. Okay. My second favorite death in a Jason movie, which unfortunately the movie's not perfect.
Okay.
But I thought that was great. So we're going to get a nod to that in Jason X, which is even funnier. But yeah, he like grabs somebody in a sleeping bag, slams them against a tree once, and that woman dies.
Yeah,
funny. Hopefully nobody saw clips me saying, oh yeah, flings this woman against a tree and dies. Don't clip that. Everybody's going to clip it. No, I don't want to go viral.
But yeah, so third act, this is where like she uses her telekinesis power to fight Jason. I think all this stuff works. After we dispose of the kind of bitchy blonde, like she kind of gets, she fights him with a light and she strangles him. And she like, that part I didn't care for. The next part I did, where like she's squeezing the mask and then it pops off or whatever. She tries to like squeeze the mask on his face.
Oh, it like squeezes ooze out the back of the holes and shit. Yeah.
And then eventually he has to take it off. And this is actually the longest we ever had him unmasked. And I thought the design of him, was really good.
We finally get a broken mask. Like the mask is finally broken.
Right. Yeah. And so like, I thought it looked really good with the little one eye or whatever. And the preceding scene, I think, is really cool because Kane Hodder does this thing where like he like slams the door and he's like pivoting back and forth, which you've never really seen from him. He's been pretty like slow moving killer or whatever, very right. methodical and kind of just appears whenever it's necessary. Right. And I think that they kind of like, I really like this whole movie to me is this whole sequence is the whole movie for me. Like this whole thing worked for me. And then like she throws him down the stairs and you still got like that POV when they have to cross the stairs to get down. They have that POV up and they're like watching them cross over, which I thought was like a good choice too for direction. And I think it's just a lot of those scenes work. And then like you had him like catch fire and then like he's like fighting it off. I thought was really cool. So I don't know. It's just like really cool. I think this is the best, one of the best scenes, fight scenes we've had, ending fight scenes we've had any Friday the 13th movie.
That's fair. Yeah.
Most of them are pretty bad.
It took telekinesis.
Yeah.
Because I guess you really can't fight Jason. Yeah. This would be the best way to do it.
Yeah. Even like,
I mean, but it's just like none of those things work. So how do you take him down? I guess you better resurrect your dad.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the same age.
Who's also in his...
When you killed him, by the way.
I seriously can't get over that. They didn't fish him out of the water, the dad. And that he's been... Because the director said at some point, I looked it up, the director says that, like, that's not a metaphor or, like, something they imagine. It's literally just the dad. Because on one of the documentaries, Memories at Camp Crystal Lake, it's the director was saying that they had made like makeup for him. Like more of like he's aged in the water, almost look like zombie-ish emerging from the dock. Right. But at some point, I think they nixed it because the producer didn't want to do that. So he looks just like a normal guy. No time has passed. Maybe a little disheveled.
Well, yeah, like when he was murdered by his daughter, Tina.
Right.
But he's still looking for redemption, or is Tina controlling him? I don't know.
It's a weird moment. Yeah. Plus it's very fast and loose with the telekinesis powers and how they work. And I don't know.
Cause yeah, she just resurrected her fucking father, but, and then pulls Jason into the lake again. And somehow that works. Like Jason is gone again. He's dead, I guess. Again.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like based on, not to get too far ahead, but like in Jason's Manhattan, he's still submerged under the rubble of the dock. Right. Like before he gets like,
oh man, I have so many things to say about like how that worked out too. I was like, what?
I know. Yeah. There's a lot of things about that movie. That's kind of...
That's what I'm saying. I think the next movie really leans into the camp.
Oh.
And that movie felt like a opposite. TBS movie more so than this one.
No, I agree with you. This movie is like...
Yeah.
Circumstances outside of their own whatever they could control. Like they kind of got a raw deal. But also there's a lot of things about this movie that just don't work either. Like
you're right. It took itself too serious. If it was like deciding to be more silly about it, I think it would be a way better movie. I think it would be an excellent movie.
On the internet, a lot of people generally consensus to the fact that people like Jason Lives because it's a little campier. It's a little self-referential. Supposedly, Kevin Williamson said that Jason Lives was a movie that helped influence Scream before he wrote Scream in the tone, right? In the tone of like, so there's a lot of like people who enjoy that movie. Personally, I
said Jason Lives is very, it felt like a parody of a Jason movie.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Do you have any thoughts before we rate the movie here?
No.
No. Okay. You're ready to rate it. I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. It is still arguably better than the last, like, I think, two. So
really? Not sure. I thought maybe you're a bigger fan of Jason Lives and not the fifth one. The fifth one's terrible. But the
no, the really goofy one I did like, but I think I'm going to give Jason the New Blood 4.5 sexy spooky bones.
You know, that's actually where I'm at too. I don't want to say five because I don't think there's enough here. I don't think
the rewatchability is there.
I don't think it was a bad movie if we're comparing what I've seen so far.
We've been watching.
Yeah, I think it's up there. But yeah, I think this is, I still believe I gave New Blood, I'm sorry, The Final Chapter, I think has probably been my favorite movie so far. And that was probably, I gave it a 5 or 6 or something in that range. So
probably still going to say the first one's probably the best one.
Yes, of the sequels. I guess I just specified the sequels. Of the just talking.
Oh,
yeah.
The sequel. Sorry.
2 is actually really good too. 2 is actually pretty good.
Yeah, 2's not bad. I was hating on it, but it's not bad at all.
Yeah. All right.
Third one gets weird.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd give it a 4 as well. All righty. Let's move over to our next review.
The city.
Give me a mic.
That has seen it all. Ain't seen nothing yet. Now. Jason's gone. Uptown.
There is a maniac trying to kill us.
Welcome to New York.
Friday the 13th, part 8. Jason Takes Manhattan, rated R. Starts Friday, July 28th at theaters everywhere.
Which I'm very, very excited to talk about this movie. Because I sent a little...
Because you hated it.
Hate's a strong word. I think I sent you a little something message. Pretty boring. Yeah, this was the wrong movie to watch in the middle of the night. Say that.
I feel like this is the movie where they finally lean into like hey, it's a Jason movie. Just fucking make it campy. It doesn't have to make total sense. It's just weird and goofy.
Hard disagree, but alrighty. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Friday the 13th. Jason Takes Manhattan, coming in at number 3. Friday the 13th, Cruise Line.
Okay.
Coming in at number 2 for Friday the 13th, Jason Takes Manhattan. Thankfully, Toxic Avengers, one-off.
You're right.
And coming in at number 1 for Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Jason knocks your block off.
Very true, very true. Let me flip the page here. We got a lot more notes on this movie. So... yeah, I think Friday 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. I think that's part of the problem, is that Jason really doesn't take Manhattan. He just takes a...
He does eventually.
Does he take it, though?
Last, like, 20 minutes.
Or did he just visit for, like, a hot New York minute?
He's arguably a part of the city at the end of the movie, so...
Yeah, this is for... Historically, I don't know if anybody knows this or not yet, or you're watching these for the first time. Jason's not really in Manhattan. There's like maybe 10 minutes total of him in Manhattan.
Mostly takes place on a boat.
On a boat. Yeah. The majority of this 1 hour and 47 minute movie, which I felt every single minute of. I believe one of the longest Jason movies we've watched, because these are usually barely an hour and 30 or, you know, an hour 25, 27. That extra 10 minutes for me did nothing for this. I felt every second of this fucking movie. I think
I can't say it's Newark though. Like, he's in Times Square quite obviously for like at least 5 minutes.
I really feel, and through kind of like going through everything, the history of it, it's like I feel like they had a big ambition, the director and the producers, to kind of set this in New York, because there were planned sequences of having that boxing match or whatever at the Madison Square Garden. There was
That would have been pretty rad, actually. Yeah.
There was a chase scene at the Brooklyn Bridge that they had planned. And there was also, I believe, he was going to stand on the Statue of Liberty, like on top of the Statue of Liberty, which is like that all sounds really cool.
They were near Ellis Island for a bit.
You know what I mean? Like, all of that sounds like amazing, yeah. But they had to, like, because they whittled down the budget. This is like, they whittled it down to like very minimal. This is probably the lowest budget. And
I need to point out. This movie and the previous movie, I feel like, to be fair, I gotta mention whatever versions I saw look like they were made for TV, because there was weird edited sequences where they were doing something, then the scene would end and then it would come back.
I don't know. Did you buy them on Apple TV?
No. I watched them on Amazon. Or not Amazon. I forgot what I saw them on.
Possibly, yeah.
Where they were free.
Right.
There was no like commercials or anything. It was just like...
Yeah, I think currently YouTube... I saw YouTube has them. All the Paramount movies free, but it does say edited for TV and screen. I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because there's some like weird, like, oh, that kind of took me out of it. That was weird. It's like trying to watch the movie, and then there would be like, you know, weird fade outs and then come back in.
Right.
There was even one in Jason Takes Manhattan where it faded out, and my partner was like kind of looking at me like, "Do you need to check if the thing's still going?" I was like, I think this is just the version I'm watching. And there was like a solid like 6 seconds before it came back.
Well, I was like, well, that's unfortunate. Strange. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, let's opens with, we meet literally the most boring final girl of any of these series. And maybe she has telepathy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. What power does she have?
Well, maybe not telepathy. She
mind melted.
Is a seer. Yeah.
She somehow mentally connected with Jason when her...
That's what I'm saying. They like, whoever decided to make write this movie, and then the director, because I'm not going to look it up at this point.
Fair.
They really went in on like, what do the other movies have? All right, let's just, whatever. how's Jason going to come back? I don't know. Let's put a bunch of weird lines that say, hey, do not touch, do not break in the bottom of the ocean or the lake. And nobody's ever going to pay attention to the fact that there's a bunch of debris right by where we built this pipeline. I was like, that's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. Then that's how Leaky gets revived. And then like we have this very, very long sequence, of this couple retelling the Jason myth or whatever, that he was killed there. And then he tries to scare her.
And then they bang, right?
Right.
And then he's like, you know what's super romantic is if I pretend to be Jason and stab her with a retractable knife.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking romance right there.
The old Flores move.
No lasting. She was like, really scared. And then, of course, she was upset. And I was just like, calm down. It's a joke.
Yeah.
He just pretended to murder you. It's fine. It's a joke.
And
but he was wearing a new hockey mask, right?
A new hockey mask.
We lost the previous one. It broke in half.
Yep. And we get the guy gets immediately murdered, right? And then the girl hides, and then she's like, this is a reoccurring. I don't know if it was
because
the editing.
Can't shut up, right?
Yeah. I don't know if you got this part of it because you said you had like a different edit, but like literally they're like, she's screaming, and then they cut back to Jason and she's screaming, and they cut back to her and she's screaming, and then they cut back to him, and then they cut back to her, and they cut back to him, they cut back to her. And then slowly Jason just like picks up whatever weapon he has in his hand and kills her. And then.
No, so the version I got, she's trying to keep quiet in that thing, and I just keep thinking, like, swim away. Obviously, Jason can't fucking swim.
He'll just sink.
Can he? Yeah, which is really funny, because I think the whole lore of Jason is like, no, he's afraid of water. I'm like, no, he's not afraid of water. He just can't swim.
Right.
Water isn't the thing that stops him. Seems to be like...
I would argue, let me push back on that, because Freddy versus Jason, doesn't Freddy surround him with water, and he's like trapped in that prison of water as a kid?
So that is the only movie that happens.
But this is all canonical. This is all the same... No. Timeline.
But that's what I'm saying. If we're doing it by this, at this point in the series that we're watching, right. Jason has no fear of water. In fact, we can deduce that Jason as a child swam out of the fucking lake and then grew up as an adult by himself or with his father, I guess.
So,
and like, and then finally got killed because Jason was a real human person for like the first three movies, or I mean, not even the first three, like second, third.
He died after
second, and then the fourth.
He was already alive for two movies, and then he's been zombified for the last two, three. Yeah.
So he's not afraid of water. He just can't swim.
Okay,
right. That's what I'm gathering. It's because.
He had trouble swimming. That's why he died as a kid.
But I don't, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he died as a kid.
Oh, you're right.
I think
he didn't die.
He either swam out of it or somebody saved him. And then his mom never knew about it because she went a little loony.
Right. She just imagined him dead.
That's why I think you're right. That the dad probably was like, Jason, oh no, I got to take care of you now. You're my son. And then the dad disappeared as dads do, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to argue like, well, I don't think I've ever seen, he never fights anybody in a body of water, but that's not true. He fights somebody in, Jason Lives when they put the rock on him. He merges.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Tommy fights him in a body of water. He's like, oh, well, even in the, what was it? The third one? Yeah, the third one. Like they're in the lake at one point at night and he just like kind of walks around, kills a person, throws him in the water. Like it was like, he's not afraid of water, according to this lore that we're finally learning.
I like that we're talking more about the lore than the movie because the movie sucked. Yeah.
No, well, I think Jason Takes Manhattan, this is the first movie I saw repeatedly on television.
Okay.
And I assumed all the movies were going to be as campy and as funny, but they weren't. So,
There wasn't a back and forth
between him and that woman at the beginning. It was literally her hiding, and then eventually he just opens up that hatch, and then it was just a slow him pushing that thing into her chest. There wasn't a back and forth.
All of the murders are shot that way. They take way too long. There's too much, like, I noticed that the first time, and I was like, well, that's kind of like weirdly cut. Because there's no cuts. It's just kind of just sits there. And then it happens again and again and again. It's kind of like, that's how he chose to edit those kills.
The version I saw, which is like made for television, I guess, none of that. Like even the chick at the beginning that gets hit with the guitar, she just looks and then she gets hit by the guitar. She's dead.
No. Yeah. I think I
no, I saw a completely different version. I think I saw a much shorter version too, because you said it was like an hour and 40 something.
40 minutes.
I saw like an hour and 20 something minute
version. Oh, yeah. I got the, I guess the whatever Paramount released version. Because I bought the bundle. Yeah. The director's cut. Fuck, no, I'd say the opposite. Yeah, he did no cuts. He did no cuts in this movie.
Because I got like a rather short, it was, I think, shorter than the other movie.
I think that's part of it. Yeah,
interesting. I wonder if you would thought it was more fun if you saw the version.
No, I just don't think there's anything fun about this movie. There's no like redeeming characters in this. I think it does take itself too seriously. I think all the characters are terrible, which is not, that's not saying much, because most of the characters are pretty terrible in these movies anyways. You also have like the teacher character who's the legal guardian of the final girl, again with the legal guardian thing. It's like, this is supposed to be Tina, yeah, right? This, but it's not Tina, it's whoever she is. I don't remember her name.
God, maybe I feel like I need to send you the version I saw, because I feel like I know what you're gonna say. But even that the moment where you realize that he pushed her into the water was really funny for me, because it was cut way too quick. I was like, what?
Well, there's always been kind of like, I would say like in the last movie we saw, the whole dock scene in the beginning was, I thought, terrible. Like, it was very funny. The way they cut to her, the little girl in the boat while she leaves, and the dad's like, Dana, and they cut back to her, and then she has like this little skull, like a scowl in her face and stuff. And then she like uses her telekinesis power. It's Not the best.
The dude, we didn't talk about it, but dude had like a solid 120, like almost 2 minutes time to run off the fucking dock, but he just kind of stood there.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of the big points of this movie, is that like, it's supposed to be like these kids are in they graduate high school and they're supposed to go on like this cruise or something. And they're going to go from New Jersey to New York as a treat for themselves. So like, okay, why would they take a fucking boat there? But it's supposed to be like a cruise, but instead we get like a worker ocean liner boat, and that's a budget thing, I'm sure. And they did try to like dress it up. I think there was like some attempts to make like a shuffleboard, and then there's even like that sort of club dance room with a very small ceiling, which I thought was super funny.
There's a skeet shooting thing, right, which I was like, why the fuck would that be on a thing for kids?
Because New Jersey. I don't know. And they attempted to, but it's just, you can see the small budget here. And a lot of that's not his fault. Like, it's just,
oh my God. One of our main characters dies, and it's because Tina fucking kills her by accident. I was like, man.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You get the rocker chick dies. Immediately. Yeah. And then, oh my God, we haven't even talked about the legal guardian guy. This guy is like, maybe
weird.
He's clearly I don't even know. What would you describe him as? Like,
oh man, my favorite thing is there's a flashback sequence, the one where I'm talking about, he's trying to teach her how to swim, and he's like, his whole ploy to get her how to learn how to swim finally, because she refuses how to learn how to swim, is Jason drowned her and he's just waiting to pull kids down. I'm like, why the fuck would I want to get in the water after telling me that? What was the logic here? And he pushes her in, and he is the same exact age he is as like adult Tina. I'm like, what? They didn't even try.
This guy is like a... I don't even know how to describe him. I wish I could find a good point of reference, but he's just clearly miscast. He's supposed to be a teacher and a legal guardian. And the scene you're describing is important, because that's when the final girl, the main girl here, I think that's when she sees Jason, but it's not the Jason, the hillbilly version of Jason. It's like just a kid. And throughout the movie, yes, every other time we see the kid, he's sort of transforming into the hillbilly version, because the eye is all weird, and he becomes a little more gross as the movie goes on, which I thought was like, I don't understand what any of this is. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Keen Hodder, dude. Not.
Yeah. But he was supposed to be a teacher, and that's why he was like chaperoning the kids. And then like one of them,
It was weird. Yeah.
And there's like another teacher.
He kind of had like an old John Saxton thing going on.
He had like a Leslie Nielsen before the Naked Gun movies. Like, he was just kind of vibed to him.
I was going to say a George, what's his name? Planet of the Apes.
Roddy McDowell. Kind of.
No. I mean, kind of that too, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just...
It was a strange
character. He's a very strange character. And he is constantly complaining in this movie. Like, I couldn't... The only thing I truly wanted from this movie was for him to fucking die. This movie to have a great death. Because he was...
And poetically, because Jason seemed to have... remembered this girl, or
why is he following them? That's my other argument.
What was like listening to them? Yeah. Like his walking speed is 6 times faster than their running speed. He hears that he pushed her into the water, so he drowns him in the toxic sludge that you see at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
that opens in Manhattan.
Yeah, with the little rat that comes out of it.
And the two delinquent, the only Mexican people are going to get in the movie that are like evil people.
Right. Yeah. Pumper full of drugs, smack or whatever the fuck it is.
And then she's just fucking high. I was making a joke later where she's like, "Oh man, all right, so where can I get my next school?" I love New York.
but see, like, I feel like that. I feel like that's that death of this very, very obnoxious annoying teacher was so tame to what I wanted. I was almost expecting for him to like emerge from the toxic whatever and just start melting into the streets, kind of like that RoboCop scene with that one guy and just like slowly disintegrate. I think that was really what I wanted.
What's his name? Red from That 70s Show?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Where he's fucking disintegrating into the fucking shit. That's kind of what I wanted. But I was super glad when he died.
But it wouldn't have, he wouldn't have been melting because we had established at the beginning of the movie because they threw a poor fucking rat into this vat of green goo for it to crawl out at the beginning of the movie. I was like, that's fucked, dude.
I also fucking hate this guy because like literally the boat or whatever runs into some rain and then like they get on a little escape boat or whatever, a little rowing boat, and like he doesn't row. And then they happen upon New York. They see this, you know, Ellis Island. They see Statue of Liberty. And literally he's complaining about where they're docking. He's like, I wouldn't dock here or something. Like, this place is dirty. Like, what?
When the Mexicans dudes decide to, like, rob them and then take his daughter or legal guardian, whatever.
Yeah.
And the only guy that wants to, like, oh, which, by the way... Or like one black guy in the movie is a boxer and they establish that early in the movie. He gets thrown out off the boat by Jason and then he, I guess, treaded water for like 10, 15 minutes.
Right.
The movie,
yeah.
Is what you got to assume because he jumps into the lifeboat as they're rowing away from Jason because Jason's like, oh, I don't know how to row a boat.
I'll meet you there, though.
I can't climb down this ladder. Yeah. I can't do that, but I can steer the ship to the shore.
Yeah. And he just teleports there. Clearly, he just teleports there. So,
which he does several times in the movie. Like people are trying to run away, and he keeps teleporting between like spots.
It's amazing how much he could teleport.
But this like one dude, the boxer dude, is the one guy that makes the most sense actually to me in the whole movie, where he's like, so yeah, this guy Jason, he's already killed so many people. Well, what are we gonna do? We gotta find him first before he finds us. I'm like, that actually makes the most sense.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do? You have no idea where you're at in the, well, because if they're in the middle of like between there and New York, it's almost impossible to swim to New York unless they're all trained swimmers.
Oh, okay. I get what you mean. When they kill the captain and then like that other weird,
he's trying to figure out what to do. It's like, we just fucking find him, do something. They're like, no, we can't do that. Yeah. We need to separate. And he's like, no. And he's like the one guy that's trying to call the cops, and he keeps getting like Jason keeps running into him. I think at that moment when they kidnap her, the two Mexican dudes, the gang members, I guess, I don't know, the heroin addicts.
Yeah.
He's the only guy like, let's go. And they're like, no, you hurt him. They're going to kill her. I'm like, yeah, they're potentially going to fucking sexually assault her too. What are you doing? Go fucking stop them. It's like, no, we got to play this smart. Let's go find a payphone. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he does, too. Not the old man, but the boxer dude. This is exactly what he does. And he gets caught by Jason.
Right. Yeah. And they have a whatever on top of the... They have a
Which a is fight. One of my favorite moments in a Jason film is him, like, just pummeling on Jason. And Jason's just taking it. And then he's like, all right, give me your best shot. And he pops his head off with one punch.
Right.
And it's such a jarring, like, what just happened?
Yeah.
But I love it. Yeah. It's like something I'm going to get tattooed.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. I just like that scene didn't work for me. I get it. I, I get what you're saying, but it seemed to work for me because I was just so checked out on this movie. Like, this movie did not work for me. Because
I was also going to say, the one time that somebody actually fights back against Jason in a way, sort of.
Well, Tina just fought back at him. And then Tommy Jarvis beat him.
With her fun brain powers.
Tommy Jarvis murdered him.
Tommy Jarvis murdered a living Jason and then wrapped a very loose chain around his neck and pushed him into the water. And
resurrected him, makes, you know, but uncoincidentally resurrected him and then tied a chain around his neck and drowned.
Tommy Jarvis is the real villain.
He really kind of is. I just love, like, yeah. 1 year later, I got to go back and see that he's dead and then gets him alive again. That's literally the dumbest thing.
Now that I've become mildly more attractive and I'm kind of cool, I'm going to go find Jason, is what he said.
I don't want to completely dislike this movie. The only thing I truly loved about this movie is that just 2 minutes that they got to shoot in Times Square and you see Jason there. Yeah. I love that scene. That's an amazing scene. It just, that's really kind of like what this movie needed. And it's the best scene in the whole movie. Yeah. And I love that it has that you get to look at, it's kind of a time capsule, right? Because you see old New York and stuff like that. And then you have like Kane Hodder there and he's just...
Hey, they had Sbarro's back then.
They had Sbarro's, yeah. Even... what is it? Whiskey?
Oh, Batman. You saw the fucking Batman ad in the back?
And Batman, it's like, 89.
Oh, that's going to come out a year later. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
They had Centauri Whiskey?
Oh, Centauri Whiskey.
Yeah. Which I thought was super cool.
Centauri Toki.
I could see a producer being like, okay, we have this great shot. This kind of makes the movie. And then we'll just, whatever, bullshit. But we have this one good thing that hopefully people will enjoy.
And then you get an even better thing because he walks by a group of punks, street thugs on Times Square. And he kicks their radio out of the way and they're like, hey, man. And then he turns around and you get the back of his head and he takes his mask off to only show them. And they're like, it's cool, man. We're good. And they run away.
Right. Yeah.
Which is weird because you start to see that Jason didn't give a shit about anybody in Manhattan except for the people he was like initially trying to kill.
Right. And then I don't know. It seems even worse when
so it's kind of Tina's fault
when they're running away from her. They're running away from Jason. They hop into that cafe and she's like, somebody's trying to murder us. And the waitress is like, welcome to New York. I'm like, just dumb. No fun.
In fact, like, yeah, Jason comes in and starts doing shit and it takes like a split second before everybody else is like, all right, we're out.
Are we in spoilers? Should we go to spoilers just for the last scene?
Oh yeah, spoilers.
Okay, we go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
Jason Takes
Manhattan.
Just kidding.
No, I just...
Finally.
When I was messaging you about how boring I found this movie, you said the last 10 minutes. Do you like this scene in the sewer? Is that what you're referring to by last 10 minutes?
From the point, basically whenever he's in Manhattan, because I was like, man, this movie went off the rails. It's just... being bonkers and like really, that's what I mean, really leaning into the camp. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Jason keeps teleporting from parts of New York.
Right.
And then they get in the sewers and what he gets toxic waste because there's a guy, they're like running through the sewers and then they run into some guy. He's like, oh, not a minute too soon. We got to get out of here because, you know, every night at midnight in New York, they flush the sewers with toxic waste
into
everybody
the water.
That. Yeah. It's like, what? And then somebody dumps a vat of toxic waste into his face and he starts to like kind of melt a little bit and he's like running after them. And then they're in a ladder high enough trying to get through the sewer
while the
like a manhole
toxic waste is releasing
and just
melts away,
you know, flowing all over him. And then he turns into a baby Jason that got drowned initially.
I did not like this look of Jason when he was melted. This is a complete downgrade from the last time we saw him unmasked and he looked like a rubbery Muppet. Like, it just didn't not work. This
because he had toxic waste in his face. I don't know what that was.
It just didn't work. I mean, I felt like the version we just saw in the previous movie, I thought looked way better than this. And it just looked cheaper. Honestly, it just looks cheaper. It didn't look like
I'm happy. Well, which I know you gave accolades to the previous movie, but I didn't like the makeup.
Okay.
To me, it looked like they put a skeleton on top of his actual hand. I was like, I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was probably just being too nitpicky. Like, he was too beefy because they put a layer of skeleton and like whatever on him.
Mm.
And in this one, I'm like, all right, you're not really looking at it. But my takeaway from that, as he was melting in the sewer, is that what's her name? Jane and her new boyfriend are completely fine. I guess like the fumes aren't that big of a deal, I guess, because they're under there. They're in there and they're breathing all that shit in, but they're fine.
Yeah. There was a plan sequence they didn't complete or got nixed late into the editing, was that there's the little boy that we see is supposed to be like inside the mouth of Jason while he's melting, and we're supposed to cut to it. So it's almost like, but they didn't use this shot. So it was just, I guess it's supposed to allude to the fact that like young Jason is still in this creature monster zombie. And it looked dumb from what I saw. It was like test footage, but he's like that little boy is in like the jaws of like a, you know how they make the giant like prosthetic head, and then like a little boy is like sitting in it, and they make it look like he's the small version of it or whatever. And so like he's like swimming in the whatever vat ocean, and then we don't get that scene, but we do get once Jason is kind of like whatever taken by the toxic water or whatever, like we get the little boy laying.
Transforms into that.
The boy again?
Kid laying away from camera.
Yeah, like, which I don't know. I don't think they did enough explaining like what was going on there. And why is she the only one seeing it? Or can the boyfriend see this? Like, there's no rules were really kind of properly explained there.
Yeah, well, regardless, I don't think any of them even chose to tell anybody that, hey, there's like a dead person in the sewers.
No, God, no. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Something I failed to mention in the previous movie that I thought was funny is the final line of the previous movie is the, I kept calling this character Jane, but Jane or Jill, whatever, from the previous movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the back of an ambulance, and her love interest, he's like, what happened to Jason? And she's like, we took care of him, meaning her father and her. Anyway,
right.
I thought that was really bad. I was like, no, God, what a horrible final line. Anyway.
Yeah. That. And this,
I think this one had a bad final line too. I just don't remember.
I don't remember it either. I think they just like the mask floats away, and I think that's how we end, right? The mask kind of floats into the sewers.
At this point, Jason's got to be in hell, right?
No, yeah. Well, he's officially, I think, in hell. Yeah, I think the Paramount years are done.
We gotta find out.
We're gonna find out, and then New Line buys him up, or at least the character Jason, and starts making these movies. So, yeah, that's kind of it. Alrighty, do you have any quick thoughts?
One fun bit of trivia is people when Kane Hodder was in Times Square as Jason, people were like going crazy trying to take pictures of them.
Yeah. I think he said it was like a night shoot, right? Like they shot it really like 3-4 in the morning or something. And I don't know. It's super cool. I think that's like a moment. That's like a very like memorable moment for him. But yeah. Okay, cool. Do you have any other thoughts before you rate the movie?
No.
All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I know we're going to disagree, but I'm going to give Jason Takes Manhattan 5 sexy spooky bones.
Okay, fair. I'm going to give it a 2. I did not like this movie. I thought it was just boring. I just thought it was boring. I did not see the fun in this movie. I could see it in other ones. I could see it in Jason Lives, right? The kind of campiness. The goofy one, yeah. But this one...
The super goofy.
Super goofy one, yeah. I wouldn't even say this one... This is this movie is a product of like just small budget Paramount not giving a shit anymore. And just like, let's just fucking put these out in theaters. It always makes its money back. Let's just keep cutting the budget until this thing is not making any more money for us. And I think that's what they did. I think the budget of this was like maybe 4 or 5 million is what I heard. And it made back the least amount of money, which was like 14. So in that simple math, it seems
the most replayed on TNT, though, I think, I'm pretty sure.
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah. I hard agree with that. Alrighty. We're entering the New Line Cinema era. things can only get better, so.
Get better. So far, I'm going to call it right now. This is probably the worst series we've seen. Well, I don't know. Paranormal Activity was a chore.
Paranormal Activity just gets boring, to be fair. Even when it does have moments.
Except for that fifth one that I really like, the Mexican one.
I like when they kind of start looping back and there's time travel, but yeah. That's a whole other thing. All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.